On behalf of all of us here at Sling Stones and the whole Healing Care family, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. May we, like never before, press into the truth of Emmanuel, God with us. And as the weary world rejoices, may we celebrate. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Well, here we are. It's Christmas week. I hope there's joy and light flooding into your soul as you consider the amazing message of Christ's coming, his birth there in the manger, and what it means when angels sing the glory of God because of the salvation Jesus brings to us. I hope your busyness in preparation for this Christmas season does not in any way steal away the focus upon the glory of Christ's coming and what he is offering to us as his children. I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, take the time, read the Christmas story. Go into Luke and read chapter 2, all the way in to where Jesus is born and then presented at the temple. And then go back and read in Matthew the story of the Magi. This is the time to soak in this particular story and this amazing message that comes here in particularly Luke chapter 2, where it says this: there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah." And then it goes on to say that they will find him wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And then the angels begin to sing, "A great company of the heavenly host. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, I was a pastor for a number of years. I think altogether, 15 years or something like that. And to be honest with you, when my children are little, I loved Christmas Eve. I loved the Christmas Eve service that we would have, and all families would gather, and it would be candlelight, and we would have the choir sing, and I would get to preach a message about the coming of Jesus, and my kids would be squirming in their seats, can't wait to get home and maybe get to open one package and then go on up to bed. Just amazing. And this story, one of the things that we did every morning is we would gather our little nativity creche, and everyone would pick out one of the characters there, and we would read the story, and they would move the shepherds toward the manger, and then they'd bring the Magi and present the gifts before Jesus. It was just a great time, and it's a sweet memory for me. There's one particular Christmas Eve that I want to mention to you, and I may have mentioned this in the past, and if I have, please bear with me. We were pastoring a little church in Pennsylvania. We had a great Christmas Eve service. The church was packed. We lived right next door to the church. We scurried home and put the kids to bed, as hard as that was. And we got our packages all ready and under the tree and anticipating that they'd be arising very, very early in the morning. And finally, Sherry and I, exhausted, we go up and we just go to bed. And I go to sleep so quickly when all of a sudden I feel her elbow jab me in the side. And she says at a loud whisper, "Somebody's in the house." I'm going to tell you what, that can create an amazing degree of panic. And I came up out of there and I listened and I didn't know if I heard anything or not. And I decided I would walk downstairs. And for whatever reason, I chose to walk down the steps in the dark. And I came to the foot of the stairs that reached right into our living room. And I flipped on the light and there was a man sitting on our couch. His name was Bill. I'm not sure how he got in. I must have left the door open. He certainly hadn't been at the Christmas Eve service, but there he was sitting on our couch, and he was drunk. He kind of knew where he was because he knew that I was the local pastor, and he was basically asking me to please help him as he was there, very inebriated. So I woke up Cheryl, and she came down, and she made some coffee for him. And he began to slowly sober up a bit, at which point he began to just share his heartbreak and his desperation. His marriage was falling apart, and his employment was not meeting the daily needs of their family. And there was part of me that was wondering, what in the world is it that I can say to him? And the other part of me is, isn't this amazing? I get to preach my sermon again, in essence, to say there is good news, which is essentially what I did. I talked to him about this being Christmas Eve and what it meant and how God loved him and sent Jesus for him, and that even in the midst of his heartbreak, God wanted to love on him and to live with him, to help him through these difficult times. And believe it or not, this guy did receive Christ there on my couch late into the night on Christmas Eve. Now, that in itself was an amazing part of the evening, but he went on to become a part of our church. Next thing I know, he was bringing his wife and his children, and they came every Sunday, and I often went up and visited them in their little mountain home, and their life began to be transformed. And I often think of how easy it would have been for me to simply call the police and get him out of there, because I was certainly frightened enough to do that. But God sustained it, and I had an opportunity to share the message of Jesus, and thank God he responded to that message. Unto him was born a Savior. Isn't that a good word? Unto you is born a Savior. It's not just the world as a whole. It is certainly the world, but it's also you. And the idea of born this day, and one of the things I think about for Christmas is every single day we want Christ to be born anew in our hearts, not in the manger. And that it is this glory of God. As we look into the book of Revelation and we see into heaven, we see that the same song is sung, glory to God in the highest, as 10,000 times 10,000 angels sing glory to Christ around the throne. It's Christmas week. And it's a time for us to think about this message and then ask ourselves the question, how are we actually responding to this message of Christmas? Because it demands a response. There is no question, but it demands a response. Now, the last time we were together, we talked about Elizabeth and Zechariah and how God met them in their barrenness and in their doubt. I want to mention three other characters of this Christmas narrative and how they responded. So here's the message. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, born today, a Savior. And when you look at some of these characters, you can see that they responded in very, very different ways. Now, let's just think a minute about the innkeeper. You know, the story is that they go to an inn, and there's no room for them. So the innkeeper just basically casts them off, and they got to go stay in a place where there are animals. We see it as a manger and cattle and sheep and all the accompanying smell and dampness of that kind of a moment. But do you realize that here it is, the Christ child is about to be born, and the response of the innkeeper is apathy and indifference. Too caught up in his own world, too caught up in business, because things couldn't have been better because of now all these people having to come back to their place of birth in order to be registered. He doesn't see it. He doesn't capture what's right in front of his eyes. How does he send someone so close to birth away and not find a place? Apathy and indifference. And that's what's going to happen. Right now, as we're in this Christmas week, there are people that are apathetic and indifferent toward it, and how I pray that something would stir them from their myopia and allow them to see that the light of God is right before them. And then you see these shepherds. probably the lowliest of this particular culture. Living out on the hillside, watching flocks, probably somebody else's flocks. And yet, the angels come to them and show them value. And they so feel that, that they rush to the place of Christ's birth and they worship him and they praise him. The scripture says that the shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened. And so they hurried off. And then it says, and when they saw him, they spread the word about what they'd been told and about this child. That's another response that can happen in this. That in the midst of our, if you will, brokenness and neediness, we can recognize how personal this word is for us. And we can rush out and we can praise him. So an innkeeper is apathetic and indifferent, and shepherds give him praise. And then there's the magi who travel a long distance from a religion that in many ways doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Very strange, but they go and they find the Christ child. And they present him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They sacrifice in order to, in some way, express their heart over this child that has been born. And that's another response that right now, here on Christmas, when we're giving gifts to one another, that we think about the sacrifice that we can make to help other people in this world, to make a difference in this world, to let that be our response to the coming of Christ, that it's not only the gift he is to us, but what is the gift that we can give to others? That's part of our response to Christmas. And then there's Herod. Hostility. How he wants to destroy the Christ child because he knows that the coming of Christ will demand changes in him. There'll be changes that would have been good for him, but he's not willing to let that go. And so what does he do? He sends his soldiers out and they desperately try to find the Christ child to take his life, and they take the lives of many children. Now think about those four characters and their four responses. Apathy as a response to the message of Christmas. Worship. Sacrifice. Hostility. May you and I embrace this glorious message. Read this account yet again. Get caught up with shepherds and angels and magi. Not be apathetic. Not react with hostility to the fact that God is asking us to present our lives to him in response to his giving us the glory of Christ. It is my prayer that you have a great, great Christmas this week. And that the greatness is in being caught up yet again in the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus. Let me read those words one more time as you prepare for this week of Christmas. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. Now let's listen. Maybe, just maybe, we'll hear angels sing. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. His favor, my friend, rests on you. Have a blessed Christmas.